10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together today as brothers and sisters in Christ as we celebrate All Saints Day today in our church service, a day that we're reminded of all the believers, if you think about it, that have come before us in this world, the great throng of witnesses that we're a part of in our faith that the Lord has given to us. So we celebrate that today. We're blessed to be together, and we welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning. Thanks for joining us for our service as well. We wish you the Lord's blessings as you take part in the hearing of the word along with us today. If you're gathered here in the sanctuary this morning, we welcome you again and invite you to please stand for our hymn of invocation this morning, if you're able. That's hymn number 700, Love Divine, All Love Excelling. And if you turn and face the back of the sanctuary this morning for our procession, please stand.
Thank you.
We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which today you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We continue with our introit for this morning, Psalm 31 and Revelation 7. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Never, let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. For you are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We continue with our Kyries. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Honor, be glory, and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven, proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtues and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this morning on all our observation of All Saints Day comes from Revelation chapter 7. Begin here in verse 2 of this revelation. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now with our epistle lesson this morning from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel from the center of the church this morning.
Are written that you may believe that
that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing the doxology. At this time, we confess our faith together to the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're printed for you there in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day together? That's hymn 677, For All the Saints. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Before we start talking about the stuff that's in my sermon, I wanted you to know that it's a humbling experience to try to preach on a text where your Lord was preaching a sermon. But that's what we have before us today in Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, which we know as the Beatitudes. Undoubtedly, the wisdom he has to give us today comes from him and from his sermon that he brings to all of us, including myself. But starting out the sermon with a quick story. It's a pretty famous one, you might remember. Back in World War I, there was a problem on the American battlefront. And the problem was that the soldiers were forced to use phone lines back in those days to communicate their battle plans from place to place. And guess what happened when they used the phone lines to communicate in the 36th Division of the U.S. Army in World War I, but the enemy tapped into the phone lines and was able to hear the conversations and knew the plans before they even took place. Not a very easy way to win a conflict, for sure. But what would they do? Well, there was a group of Native American men fighting in the army in one of the divisions, and they spoke a language called Choctaw. And Choctaw had over 26 different dialects, most of which were never written down anywhere. And so they had those Native American men become their communicators on the battlefield. And as they spoke the battle plans in Choctaw, the enemy had no way to understand what was being said. They could no longer decipher the meaning of those words. Jesus, in his sermon this morning, is sending a message to us, but he speaks in a language of faith. A language of faith that in order to understand, we have to have his Spirit. His Spirit that gives us faith. He speaks in a dialect of need and dependence. That's what faith is. Faith is dependence on God, fundamentally. If you need God, then you can understand the language of Jesus this morning in Matthew chapter 5. But if you don't need him, his help, then you won't be able to decipher the sermon from his lips. In fact, the sermon makes no sense to a world of self-sufficient, independent people. His teaching here in Matthew, it makes no sense to the world. I mean, how is it that the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness or the one who's meek is blessed? How is it that it's the one who's poor in spirit? Friends, that's depression. How is that person blessed? Or those who mourn. And we could also translate that word mourn if we wanted to grieve. Be appropriate. How are they blessed in their grieving? It doesn't make sense to those who don't hope in God. To those who don't hear the scripture of the Apostle Paul when he says that we do not grieve as others grieve. Without hope. But our grieving is different. Our grieving is based on faith And it looks forward in hope to what we heard about in our glorious reading from Revelation this morning. It doesn't make sense to those who aren't dependent on God or for those who are of the world. James, in his epistle in chapter 4, verse 4, puts it this way. He says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" Jesus' message today is for everyone, undoubtedly, but to those who are friends of the world, it goes in one ear and out the other. Or at best, it comes across as a confusing teaching, almost like a riddle. The true message remains hidden to them, almost like the language on the battlefield did to the enemy back in World War I. Much the way Jesus also taught in many of his parables. He speaks in a heavenly dialect, a dialect that we in the church call faith. The scripture will tell us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, "The Lord knows who are his." And friends, this morning, he sends us his message. That even in the midst of the most difficult things in life, even in the greatest troubles when we're poor in spirit, those times when we are feeling low and feeling depressed, I hope that's not how you're feeling this morning. I hope today's a great day for you. But on the days when it's harder, right? That even in those worst times, those times of mourning and grieving and sadness, that even in those situations, there's a blessed hope from Christ. Though he died, he lives. He lives. In his suffering, in Jesus' cross, when you think about the cross and all that it accomplished for us, we so often focus on the blessings of the cross, and that's beautiful. But let me tell you, the cross wasn't a good experience at all, right? It was horrific. But in that suffering was great blessing for the whole world, for you and for me. And so when we have to suffer in life, which does obviously happen, I don't have to tell you that when we do suffer, it all the more connects us to the one who suffered. So often we think it tears us apart from God. When we're hurting on the inside, when something's going wrong, we cry out, "Where are you, God? Why aren't you helping me?" But we can't see that we're right there close to him. Even in our suffering, even in our times of mourning and being poor in spirit and being meek and being peacemakers, he says we're blessed. You know, the writer of the Hebrews says in chapter 13, the 14th verse, he says, "For here, that is in our world, we have no lasting dwelling or no lasting city. But we seek the city that is to come." The world isn't our home. I know we say that, but do we really think about that? And woe to the person who's at home in the world. For the scriptures clearly teach that as believers, we're in the world, yeah, but we're not of it. We're different because of the faith that Jesus put in us. By grace, that we don't walk by sight, as the apostle says. We could also say, in the context of our sermon from Jesus this morning, we don't walk independently or by sight, but we walk by faith or dependently, depending always on God. our need. This is what we've got to see, friends. It's a beautiful thing. It's our need that guides us, by which he leads us. It's those moments when it's difficult that we realize how close he is and how he understands exactly what's going on. Jesus said about this in John 15, he said, if the world hates you, strong language I know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, he says, therefore the world hates you. You know, John echoed that in our epistle reading this morning too, and in chapter 3. He said, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So how's it going? Life, I mean. We were joking around this morning when we were coming into church. I said, hey, how you doing this morning? The answer was, oh, I'm good. I said, oh, you live in the world, don't you? I said, me too. So yeah, we're good. But we live in the world. And we all get what that means, right? We all understand that. You know, Jesus also says this, Matthew 9. It's well known. He says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Jesus, by preaching what's in our text this morning, is sending us a message to the outcasts of this world, to those who the world does not receive, those who are in need, those who seem to not be able to make it work. You see the social media things that say, you know, build a life you don't need a vacation from. And I think to myself, how's that going for you? We can't seem to get it right. It doesn't always just work, right? There's always something, we say. Jesus says, we're blessed. We're blessed because then and then only can we see clearly our need for God. Then and then only can we see our dependence on him. Because when things go well, friends, that's not what we think. Ever feel like you're just at war with the world? Jesus has a message for you on the battlefield of this life. So listen close. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When Jesus teaches this message, preaches the beginning of his sermon here, he brings a message of hope to people's ears who are blessed to see their need for God. Those who are in need of a physician, who live dependent on him. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. In those moments, tell me it's not true. You know you need Jesus when things aren't going perfect. It's constant dependence on Jesus that we need. When the world doesn't receive us, when life doesn't go right, we don't want to be at home in a world that would treat us like that anyway, right? We know there's more. How else could Paul write in chapter 5 of Romans in the 3rd verse and say we rejoice in our sufferings? The apostles understood the Beatitudes. They got it. Especially today, we look around what's going on and how, like, just going to straight up say it, how anti-Christian the messages that are being propagated are. In our schools, in our government, everywhere you look, anti-Christian messages. We look around us today and we say, what's happening? It's like the world isn't our friend. And God says, it's never been your friend. Don't let it deceive you for a moment. It's never given you anything. God has always provided for you, his dear child. If you can see clearly that the world isn't your home, then thanks be to God because you're blessed. And Jesus' message found a home and an understanding in your ears this morning because of the gift of faith. Today, his Beatitudes made sense to us. Take joy. Blessed are you as the world rejects you and doesn't receive you. Rejoice and recall your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because according to Isaiah the prophet, he was despised and he was rejected. And he had no place to lay his head. I mean, when his mom and dad rode into Bethlehem that night, they literally couldn't find even a cheap motel. Had to have baby Jesus in the stable manger. And as soon as he took his first breath, Herod sought his head. I bet Joseph and Mary thought, wow, it feels like the whole world's against us as they're running off to Egypt to avoid the death of their child. But the truth, this is the Beatitudes, friends. They were blessed. They were blessed to be the parents of the Savior. That so often works the same exact way for us. Our troubles lead us to see our need and our blessing as well. They draw us close to God and keep us from thinking, I'm good, Lord. Yeah, things are going okay. You got a little prompting in your heart. You know how it is. Maybe I should open up my Bible this morning. You ever get that prompting? Oh, I'm good, Lord. Things are fine. Something goes wrong, it's different. I mean, Mary, she's a striking figure because she was blessed above all women, the scripture says, but she was persecuted literally for the sake of righteousness in her womb. I mean, she almost lost her Joseph over the deal. Remember? He thought to put her away quietly and divorce her. She hungered and she thirsted for righteousness that hung up on that cross. She mourned his death as she watched his life escape from him that day on Calvary. Yet she was blessed by God. And the same goes for us when the world doesn't receive us, friends. When fear seems more powerful than hope. When we feel like everything we stand for as Christian people is rejected and despised all around us. And when we're just tired of serving others and tired. And we hunger and thirst to be righteous. But then we find ourselves mourning because we see our sin. and we know we can't ever measure up to it. Blessed are you and me. We see our need and our dependency on our Savior, who was righteous for us in our stead, who became our very righteousness, so that we don't have to earn anything, but that in Christ all things are made right for you and for me. Blessed are you when you suffer to be merciful, even though you don't feel like being merciful. And blessed are you when you suffer to be a peacemaker, even though everybody around me doesn't want peace. The holidays are coming up, friends. Families are going to get together. Peacemaking in the home is a blessed work. Even when they don't want it, we work for peace. And we're blessed. When you suffer, and we do this, hang in there with me, I'm almost done. When we do this in the church, when we suffer to hold this church together, when we set aside our time and our treasure, and we go out of our way, and in the age of electronics and cell phones and iPads and all this stuff, you know, we get pretty despondent. It's easy to be lazy, right? But we set aside that stuff and we serve in this church to hold it together for Christ's sake. And right there, we're blessed. If you're working right now to hold a family together, to do what feels almost impossible, blessed are you by Christ, because he'll walk with you. He won't leave you alone, but he'll be there every step of the way. And we fear tomorrow sometimes when we know what's coming, and then we remember, no, Christ will be there too. This is God's blessed gift to us, his own presence through his son Jesus, who died and suffered and rose again to come again to receive us unto himself. I don't think there's any foreign language in that statement. It's loud and clear. There's nothing to decipher in this message. Jesus died for you, and your sins are forgiven because of it. And you know what? Jesus himself, the night before his crucifixion, he was poor in spirit in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was down. You can read about it in the account in Matthew if you want to. He mourned what was to come at the cross. He hungered and thirsted for righteousness, but not his own, yours and mine. He was a peacemaker between a holy, righteous God and sinful people like us. And he was meek in going to the cross, just like the prophet said, that as a lamb before his shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. But he did it all so you could hear these words this morning. You're forgiven. Doesn't matter what it is. He loves you and he forgives it today. So you can let it go, friends. You can set it aside and move on. And the worrying that comes in our suffering, we can set that aside too, because it's a blessing in disguise. The cross is enough for you and it's for you. And Jesus has come, and even though the world will never understand us or this language of faith that our Lord Jesus speaks, we hear it and we're blessed. And he's conquered, and it's loud, and it's clear to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding... keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service where we take time for our prayer of the church, our response for our prayers on All Saints Day. Our response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, faithful God, we commend ourselves, our bodies, and our souls, and all things into your keeping. Deliver us in your righteousness from all that would harm the body or assault the soul. Deliver us from anything that would cause us to think that we aren't dependent on you all the time. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, send your Spirit to the ministers of the church who bring the good news of Christ's death and resurrection, that they may work through the preaching of this gospel to gather the lost, kindle faith in those who do not yet believe, and sustain us all to the day of Christ's coming. Lord, in your mercy. A gentle Lord, visit the homes of your people, that they may be places where faith is nurtured and where we learn to live our new lives in holiness and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed are you, O God, and blessed are the persecuted who suffer for your sake and whose witness calls all of us to faithfulness. Bring peace to the nations, we pray. Make our leaders wise, we pray. Make them just and honorable, and deliver us from terror, violence, and oppression. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, comfort us by your abiding presence and satisfy all who call on you in need this morning. We especially name before you today Jim and Linda Holman, Lee Connor, Alice, Kevin Rice, Audrey Price, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sunny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Father, grant them patience in the midst of suffering, and according to your will, release them from their afflictions. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, be with your church and all her members who belong to you by baptism and faith. At the bidding of the Lamb, our shepherd, give us ears to hear your word and faith to receive him in his blessed sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant that we may be brought to everlasting life with the faithful who've gone before us, who now rest from their labors. Lord, as we remember this morning, the great cloud of witnesses that we're a part of by faith in you, by grace. Lord, help us to be reminded always that you go with us, and so we ought not fear. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty Father, we give you thanks that you have washed us in the blood of the Lamb, written our names in the book of life, and made us a royal priesthood and heirs of an eternal inheritance. Though we are unworthy of your saving grace, we pray you to hear us in the name of Jesus Christ, and whom, with whom, and through whom all honor and glory is yours, Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you turn in your hymnal over to hymn 543, as our offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll sing that hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This? You've been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning in. We're truly blessed to have you listening in as a part of our service, and we wish the Lord's blessings to you as well. If you're gathered here in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn to page 9 in our bulletin as we begin our service of the sacrament. Well, it actually begins on page 10 there, on page 10. Please stand if you're able. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsen.